pastor mentioned this about a week ago. I was going to be up here, and I thought, man, I hope somebody shows up. I'd like to welcome the visitors we have here tonight. Our pastor is out of town. We really need to come back and hear from him. Don't take what I'm saying or my style of giving a message and judge his church off of that. Please come back again. Keep praying for him while he's away, and travel mercies. I know we have a lot of people traveling. Brother Don, I think you guys are going home this week. We just have to pray. We have a lot of people traveling, and these roads are dangerous. So let's pray for them. Brother Hatfield, it was good meeting you, and need to pray for them. And they'll be out back after the service if you want to give them a green handshake. But while I got an opportunity, I want to thank the people here that's been laboring for the Lord. You know, it's, we're often asking you guys to come out and help, and I just want to thank you. It's not unknown. It's not unseen. You know, people out doing security, people cleaning, doing the nursery, people just sit home and pray for us. It's something that's needed, and thank you for stepping up and taking care of that. You know, God tells us that in 1 Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So thank you. And to transition, I just want to remind you that Saturday is a work day. So 8 o'clock, if you want to come out and labor for the Lord, we'll be here to... This last time we did it last month, I told you there was some heavy lifting, so we just tried to get the younger crowd out here, and not so much heavy lifting this time. It's just routine maintenance, and if you want to come out and labor with us, we'll be here Saturday at 8 o'clock. They're also looking for people to, I think Brother Larry mentioned it Sunday, that there's a couple weeks left in this year. They're looking for some help cleaning the building. And I see you either with Miss Melissa or Tiffany, and volunteer if you have a week to give to the Lord. You know, I'm blessed for the opportunity to come up and give the Lord's word tonight. You know, in the past, I've had some opportunities here and there, and I've always taken four, you know, maybe eight verses and built a message off of it. And I've never had the opportunity to go through a whole chapter. So tonight, that's my goal, to get through a whole chapter tonight. So if we can open up to Psalm 1. Now, some of you guys have read the bulletin and looked ahead. You know Psalm 1 is only six verses. So, not much change, but I'm going to claim it's a whole chapter. Okay. Tonight, I titled the message, Blessed. And when we read the first word, you'll see where all my creativity came from. So, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask that you would meet with us tonight. You tell us that where two or more are gathered together in your name, that you'd be with us, Lord. So I ask that you would sit there and help us to hear from you, not from me. Tell us what you'd have us to hear and understand in the way that you'd have for each of us to hear it. We thank you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, blessed is the man. We all want to be blessed. And being blessed means spiritual happiness in favor of God, enjoying the joys of heaven. So we see that blessings come from the Lord, comes from God. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So all the blessings come from God. He wants us to be blessed. He loves us. Just like we love our children and want the best for them. So in Psalm 1 it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Well, a council is a group of advisors or people that give advice or consultation to you. You're wise to get a godly group of counsel, because it says, God tells us that you're not blessed if you walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't seek their advice. You should seek advice again from the godly people. You know, there's a lot of them out there. You know, the pastor, there's senior saints, there's family members, there's a lot of people that are godly people out there that can give advice. You know, if I was planning on opening a small business, who would I seek that advice from? You know, I knew a guy that had several small businesses. None of them kept the doors open more than 6 months. But he was a good man. And probably wouldn't be the one to seek advice from. You know, I know people who have businesses and are very successful, wealthy, and got everything that they want. But they're not necessarily godly. You know, if one of those people told me, says, "Hey, you know, I'm going to help you, you know, be wealthy like this, but I, you know, there's a college opening down the road. Why don't you go open a sports bar down there? You only have to work Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at night. Give them all the liquor they want, and they'll just fill your pockets full of money." That wouldn't be good advice. Lord tells us that that's not what we ought to do. Okay, yes, it may get you some money, but we shouldn't be there on Sundays. We shouldn't be there any day, right? And I know people tell people, well, you know, there's a lot of online churches. You can go see Joel Olsteen, you know, and those. And you don't need to go to church. You can see it on make your church a Tuesday if you can't make it Sunday. Well, again, that's just not good advice. Now, I know some people here, and not just here, but other people that they give godly advice, that are good businessmen. They're wealthy. They've been successful. I know some people that have been in business for a number of years, and they've done well in business, but they've also done very well in life. You know, they have an enduring marriage. They figured it out there. Their children are doing well. They're out there giving back to the community. And those are the things, those blessings for that person came from God, and that's the person you should probably go seek counsel from, a godly person like that. You know, for the first scenario, the man's proven successful at running a business, but not in life, or unsuccessful in business. And again, success is not measured by money. It shouldn't be measured by money. You can look at Hollywood and see that. So we see the next part of that is, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." So this verse started off by talking about ungodly counsel. And now this man is standing in the way of sinners. He's hanging out with the world in places he shouldn't be. It's not always obvious to us. We've lived in a world a long time. So a lot of times, God says His ways are not our ways. And we may think we're doing well or right, but that's not always the case. I think of Robin Hood. You know, people say he's a hero. He's out there, you know, being a good socialist, stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. Well, God tells us we ought not to steal. It is good to give to the poor, and he's half right there. the way to really do that would go get a second job and give them, have additional money to give, or go buy a field and plant food for them. That's really the more godly way. We see that in Ruth with Boaz. He left parts of the field for those widows who couldn't work and couldn't support themselves. He fed them. And that's the hero, not Robin Hood. And the last part of that verse is, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, the scornful is holding religion in contempt, treating it with disdain. Okay? You see that a lot in the world. Now, there's a lot of examples you can use. I'm not picking out one for any specific reason, but when I was preparing this message, it just happened to be on the news, and I used it as an example. But we see that with a rainbow. You know, God promised. He made us a promise, and He loved us, and He left that rainbow as a symbol for us to remember that promise. Yet there are some who use that rainbow, that symbol of God, in a worldly and sinful manner. You know, they fly that symbol, or they put it in people's face. They just push it in God's face about how you promised you wouldn't destroy me. You know, it goes further that, you know, Easter is a Christian's, one of their most holy days. It's a day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, died for our sins. And some turned it into a transgender day of visibility. 365 days, you couldn't find another day to celebrate. It was chosen for a reason on that day. And that's throwing it right in God's face. It is scornful. J. Vernon McGee said, for this verse, he said, first you associate with the ungodly, then you get in with sinners, and finally you join in with the scornful. You can see this verse tells us why you're not blessed. You're degrading. You're going down. You're heading the wrong direction. But that verse tells us not what to do. What we really also want to see is what we need to do. And we see that in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The law of the Lord is the whole of God's word. And he tells us how he expects us to live. He loves us and wants us to live the right way because he wants those blessings. In the Bible, it tells us everything. It's really the whole manual of how we ought to live our life, whether we should eat stuff or drink stuff. Right. Yeah. He orders our family, tells us what we ought not to do, what to avoid. And he tells us how to be saved, what we need to do to have that eternal peace with him in heaven. How are we supposed to know what God wants us to do if we don't meditate in his word? I can tell you, when I was young, I thought about heaven, and I thought, well, to get there, thinking like the world, my good list better be longer than my bad list. And the reason I thought that way is I wasn't meditating in God's word. I really didn't know what God said about it. I thought that's because what I thought I needed to do to get to heaven. So we need to spend time in God's word, and of course, you know, in prayer too. You know, he'll talk to us and we can talk back to him in prayer. But we should delight in it. You know, I watch the news on the couch and you grumble under your voice, you know. Get out in the street and you grumble people in your way, someone bother, you know, come on, you know. I don't think I've ever grumbled reading the Lord's Word. I might not always take in the joy I should in it, but I've never grumbled, even when He steps on my toes. The devil's trying to keep us from spending time and getting to know the Lord, to know what's right. He's keeping us busy. Not only work, the stress, the drama of our relationships, our neighborhoods, the crime. He's trying to steal that good news that the Lord gives us. But if we don't get distracted in this world and we keep our eyes on the Lord, we'll delight in His law. In verse 3 it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Here we see men are likened as unto a tree. But if you notice, it says this tree is planted. This ain't a wind carried a seed into the dirt. A bird dropped one there. This tree is planted. Someone took the time and the care. They wanted that tree, and they put effort in to plant that tree. This tree, you know, we know God is the husbandman, or God is our landscaper, right? He wants to bless us. He puts us where He wants us. He gives us the water of life. In this water, we see that it's not just a little water for that tree. It's not a bubbler system that we use here in Arizona. This tree is, the watering is like a river. The Lord is blessing us abundantly with that water. Amen. And if we keep drinking from that well, we will be a large tree planted by that, a strong tree. This tree will grow well and provide its fruit in that season. And it says that this leaf shall not wither. Well, when a tree leaf withers, it's dying for the season. It's going to fall. We're not going to die. He's going to keep us in His will, and He's going to take care of us, and He saved us, so we don't have to worry about that withering. That tree shall prosper. It'll give us the fruit and the shade that we desire. It's going to take some fertilizing. You're going to have to eat that bread of life and eat to be strong. Can't just take it for granted that you're going to be healthy because you're put there. If you don't have a good diet, then it's not going to... You're not going to be as fruitful and prosper like the Lord wants. Verse 4 says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." The chaff is a worthless part of the plant that you don't want. That's the wheat, the part, you know, you want the wheat grain, but you don't want the leaves and stuff. The chaff is what God likens ungodly people to. There are some things you can do with chaff. You can kindle to start a fire. But really, there's not a whole lot of use in it. A lot of times that chaff is unwanted. It's destructive in our life. You know, we see that when the trees bloom here in the summer or in the spring, and all those allergies go floating down there across your yard, and you got to get the blower out, and it'll work you to death. You're like, man, why? You know, I don't want this part. I want the tree. I don't want this chaff, right? You know, when you look at the world, and if we're likened as unto a tree, in Phoenix, we should be a big woods. We should be a big forest. There's a lot of trees out here that need taken care of. If you look at woods in Arizona, there's a lot of chaff, there's a lot of underbrush in those woods. And it's a bad thing. These trees aren't healthy. All those pine needles sit in there and nobody cleans them out, so the oxygen and the stuff don't get down to the roots of those trees to keep them healthy. And all it takes is one little situation, like a spark, piece of lightning to hit it. And it turns devastating to that woods. A lot of trees, or in this case people, will be burned by it. We need to be like that husbandman. God tells us to go out into the world and give them the water of life. Nourish these trees. Take care of them. Clean out that underbrush. So when you have a good, healthy forest without all that chaff in it, you're not going to have problems when lightning strikes. Oh, you may lose a tree or two, but you're not going to lose the whole woods. It's not going to be devastating. Following a fire, it don't end there. You got rain, you got floods, you got mudslides. It just keeps getting worse once you let that destruction happen. So it's critical. It'll take the earth years to reestablish itself to where you can go in and rebuild that place. And we don't have years. We need to get out there and do our part now. Too late when it's over. Verse 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Here again we see what happens when we let that tree, we don't help that tree to live. We don't help those people out there to live. They will die. And that death is hell. That's the fire that is going to destroy that tree. You know, it talks about perishing, but before things perish, generally they wither and decay. It's not a real quick thing. You know, we have a small tree when we bought our house years ago. It was a little, cutie oranges, you know, the little small oranges. And that tree wasn't fed for a while, and it came back fine. It took years for that thing to get there. And it was looking kind of sick this winter. Leaves weren't really a good green color. They were wilted. You know, really wasn't doing good because I wasn't taking care of it like I ought to. So we went out there and we pruned that thing back and gave it some water, a little fertilizer, and sprouted right back up. Looks great. Looks as good as it ever did. Starting to get little buds on it for oranges. We'll enjoy this winter, this fall. So, you know, there is fruit when you work, when you labor, when you give up some of your time to go out and take care of that. It'll come around and pay for itself with dividends later in life. We have a choice. We can either listen to God or we can listen to the world. Do you want a healthy marriage? You got to do it God's way. If you want a healthy life, you got to do it God's way. Look, in the world today, you see a lot of destroyed marriages, divorces, single-family households are skyrocketing. And why? Well, the world is starting to listen to the world. People are starting to listen to the world, not to God. God said He created man and woman. The world says, hey, you can be what you want to be. And there's no blessing from God in that. He made us in His image. oh, sure, you have thoughts about, you know, I wish I was an NBA player and I was another 8 inches taller. Thank God I wasn't. He made me the way he made me, gave me the purpose he gave me to, you know, put me where he wanted me, made me just the way he wanted me, gave me the skills he wanted. And basketball ain't one of them. So people always want something that they want, not what God wanted. Grant, if you can come forth for the invitation, that's all I have. You know, God is a loving Father.